Joining us now from the Golf Channel, our good friend and local legend, Charlie Reimer. Charlie, welcome to the Golf Shop.
Mike, thank you. I like being referred to as a legend. That's a pretty cool way to get introduced right there. That's pretty nice. Believe me, in my own house here in Orlando, Florida, I never get called a legend. So I need to come up and hang out with you more often.
Well, I hope I didn't oversell it, but you are returning to your
home. Maybe a little.
Yeah, you are returning to your home here, coming up both for the PGA Championship, but also for a great event on Monday night at Fort Mill Golf Club. We've got an evening with Charlie Reimer happening to raise money for the Boys and Girls golf programs. How did that come together? And based on last year's breakfast, are you going to have biscuits this year, even though it's a dinner?
I'm on a diet. No biscuits for me. But no, what happened was my experience growing up there in Fort Mill was just wonderful. It was great people. And the golf course there at Fort Mill, which I played a ton of my golf there. I actually lived in TKK, played a good bit of golf out there too. But when I got into high school, it was almost exclusively at Fort Mill. And Walter Reynolds was a golf professional there, a longtime golf professional. And we ended up winning state championships there 4 straight years for me to finish up high school. And it was just a great experience. And when I went to school at Georgia Tech, and I just my family moved out of the area while I was in school, and I just sort of got me away from having some ties there to the area. And about 18 months ago or so, Judd Dye, the coach there at Fort Mill, reached out to me. We were having a chat, and he was just telling me that his budget for the entire year was $750.
Oh,
and,
wow.
There's a lot of folks playing golf, sometimes you have to pay for practice balls when they're going to get some shirts and bags for the kids and travel expenses and all that. You got to charge the parents for kids to play golf. And I never remember paying a dime or having my parents pay a dime. And I said, you know what, I'm going to come in and I want to help out. And a good friend of mine there was on one of those state championship teams, Lawton Sherman is his name, and he's there in the Charlotte area. We said, we're going to figure out how we can help. So instead of just making a donation, we thought it would be really neat to come in and see everybody, see the kids, get the golf community there together. So we did that last year, and I really enjoyed it. And so this year was a no-brainer to do it, especially Monday of PGA week. I'm going to be up there working anyway. So it's just something that, is a lot of fun. And I'm actually going to shoot a piece there for our show on Golf Channel Morning Drive that'll air PGA Week. And it's not about me raising money for my high school golf program. It's about showing people who played high school golf how easy and fun it is to go back and help your program, whether you're a golf professional, you made it a PGA Tour, or you're just in business somewhere. Your high school program could use your help, and not a lot of money makes a big difference. And that's why we're going to shoot that piece there at Fort Mill next Monday. Folks, listen, if you want to get on Golf Channel, come on out. You might just make it on Morning Drive on Monday afternoon.
Well, I mean, that would be awesome. And I think you hit on a very important point here. If you've played for a team and you've worn your school colors, you have an affinity for that maybe some of these, I don't know, if we're losing that a little bit with the academies and all of the private stuff that's going on. I mean, what does it mean for you to be able to, like you say, without a huge, without a massive effort to make such a difference to the school for which you wore those colors?
Listen, it's easy, it's fun, it's meaningful to the kids. And I'll tell you another thing. Coach Judd Dye reached out to me last week, and he said, listen, we've got a kid who I haven't met him yet, but he's a senior, and he's going to study broadcast journalism. Can he come shadow you at the PGA Championship while you're doing TV in the morning, radio in the afternoon? I said, absolutely. And so, that's going to reconnect me not only to my high school and the golf program, but have a chance to, build a relationship with, one of the team members. There's somebody out there now, who's a banker, an accountant, insurance guy, some type of professional that played high school golf. You know what? Go back. Reconnect with your program. Not only go help with golf, but you might just build a nice mentor relationship with one of the kids on the team. Quite frankly, golf, maybe more than anything else, you learn from somebody. Not only do you learn golf skills, but you learn life skills. And that's really important, I think, for folks that are The golf has been good to them, and not only just the enjoyment of the game, but helping them navigate through life and open up doors and job opportunities and that sort of stuff. You know what? It's somebody did something nice for you. Go back and do something nice for some of the kids coming behind you. And that's just exactly the way I look at it.
Yeah, and I hope that our listeners in the Charlotte area and across the state who may be in town for the PGA Championship will go out to our site, thegolfshopshow.com, check out the details and upcoming events, get in touch with Coach Dye down at Fort Mill, Dye, D-Y-E, the letter J, at fortmillschools.org, and go out there and, like you said, maybe get their face on the Golf Channel Morning Drive taping.
Yeah.
But if nothing else, enjoy the barbecue, the golf clinic, the chance to have a Q&A with you. The auction's going to be great. There are some PGA Championship tickets available in the
Indeed.
Auction. So I think it's great. And now, Charlie, we're talking to our good friend Charlie Reimer from the Golf Channel. I want to turn our attention to the PGA Championship, the other reason for which you're coming to town. A lot of changes out at Quail Hollow. We've been out to tour the changes and look at the course and see what's going on. How do you see this course shaping up with the new greens and the new layout, at least on those four holes that are they're so seismically changed? How different is this going to play than it has in the past for the Wells Fargo Championship?
Well, you're a little ahead of me in that you're a little farther along in your homework. I'm not going to get on the grounds until next Monday, although I was there for the media day, and which I guess was about 6 weeks ago. But the start of the golf course is very different. But the main thing is, and players will be able to figure that out. I know it's going to be a little more challenging than what the start was. But the main thing is, for the Wells Fargo has always been on oversee the golf course because of the time of year that was played. You know, this is going to be straight up Bermuda, and it's going to be a very different golf course from that point of view. I mean, the rough's going to be a little bit different. The fairways are going to play a little bit different. All the new grass is coming in, and it's when I was there for media day, it was absolutely spectacular. And the club president, Mr. Johnny Harris, he makes sure everything is perfect there. We're going to have an absolutely perfectly conditioned Bermuda grass golf course. I don't know that it'll be drastically different, but certainly we'll be talking about it. Those of us on TV and radio early in the week probably making a little bit bigger deal about the changes to the course and maybe the players are worried about.
Well, yeah, Charlie, our average temperature is 20 degrees warmer at that time of the year than it is in May, so that could have an effect on how this thing plays out. And we also get these afternoon pop-up storms, which are almost rote around here. But
I tell you, those grasses, the Bermudas, are ready. They're ready to handle all of that. It's not like in the past when you played a major championship in the South, you traditionally would have bent grass greens. These are Bermuda grass greens. When you get these temperatures, you know, let's say I'm sure it's been hot up there. I know it's been hot everywhere, but these grasses don't stress. If anything, they just get better. Mm. And that's why the club made the change to the Bermuda grasses. In the first place, going back a few years ago, I mean, it'll be perfect no matter how hot it is.
Well, and we've been trying to help our listeners understand that this is a global event. Anything that you thought you knew about Quail or the experience of going to the Wells Fargo, almost throw it out the window. Everything from infrastructure and parking and everything else. But from the event standpoint, you've been to all these majors. How can people expect it to differ in how it feels than the Wells Fargo Championship?
Yeah, major championships, and you use the right terminology there, they just feel different. When you go to... Yeah, I mean, it's almost like you go to a regular season football game. I mean, you can have some great games, some rivalry games, all that sort of stuff. But when you get into a BCS game or in an NFL, when you get into a playoff game and a deep league play, and it's not the guys aren't trying as hard on regular PGA Tour events. That's certainly not the case. And you tee it up every week, you want to win. But a major. For a player who's never won a major is a life-changing event, and for the guys that come in and have already won majors, I mean they desperately want to win more, and the setup is a little more difficult. Typically, the greens are a little firmer, a little faster, the rough's a little higher. Although the PGA doesn't traditionally get crazy with their setup, I'll put it that way. Kerry Hague with the PGA of America is a setup guy, and he puts a very firm test out there, but it's fair. And the PGA philosophy is to sort of let the weight of the championship really create a ton of pressure. Not the fact that the golf course might be on the edge of being unfair. So the players love the setup of the PGA. They know it's challenging, but they also know that if they play good shots and hit good putts, it's possible to figure out a way to score well.
Yeah, and we're looking at a, you know, when you start talking about the betting odds and the people that folks think are favorites to win this thing, I mean, it's interesting that a guy, John Rahm, who's played very, very well, I mean, he's somebody who could wither under the pressure of it being this kind of a major, and how, you know, if he's not playing well, sometimes he gets in his own way. Right now, the betting favorites are a pretty obvious Jordan Spieth and then Rory McIlroy. What kind of a game do you think is going to be required? I always look at the PGA Championship as requiring someone who's has the ability to go low all 4 days, because no one's ever run away with this thing, not historically anyway.
Yeah.
It's going to be tight. So who are you looking at? Maybe a couple of the favorites, and then, you know, we looked at some dark horses. I you know, I'm in favor of Webb Simpson because it's the story I'd like to write as the local guy.
He's played a ton of golf there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
So,
yeah.
So who are you looking at?
Roy McIlroy has had success there at Quail Hollow. He likes the golf course. It's a good driving course. And that, when I say that, a golf course that Roy McIlroy looks at and thinks it's a good driving course, it's not confining. So for him, there's a place to hit his driver. He likes that. That's the best part of his game. He's really struggled this year with some injuries early. I think some distractions and getting married. But things started to come together to open. He got off to a very bad start, put himself in position. And I'm guessing he's probably fed up with the way he's been playing. So I would expect some big things from McIlroy. And how can you bet against Jordan Spieth? Mm. I mean, what he did at the Open, it's just unbelievable. He thinks so well. And his iron play, we talked about his putting, but his iron play statistically has been better than his putting this year. And listen, I'm not going to bet against that guy. He's just got some whole gigantic barrel load of intangibles built into his heart that you basically have to be born with. DJ, Dustin Johnson, again, a good driving course for him. The freak injury at the Masters, I didn't think it was that big a deal, but over the last few weeks we sort of found out that that's been nagging at him. But he looks to be showing some signs. So, you know, those are sort of the guys that off the top of my head that I'm looking at certainly would be among the favorites and playing pretty well. But I disagree with you in that you said John Rahm could wither. That cat has known nothing in his entire life except success. He's one of the most competent people I've ever been around. And he missed two cuts in a row this year. It's the worst thing that's ever happened to him. You go back to him in college, his junior year at Arizona State, for the entire season, he didn't finish outside the top 10. And college golf is strong nowadays. That guy can absolutely get after it. He's going to be a major champion, and it's going to come quick.
Well, and when we look a little deeper down the field, I mean, I mentioned Webb Simpson because it would be a good story, but Lucas Glover's played well here, and you know, Ian Poulter seems to be surprising us right now. Do you see anybody deeper in the, you know, in the official world golf rankings in the 50s, 60s, 70s who we should be paying attention to?
Well, it's been nice to see Poulter put it back together, but I got another good story for you from one of the great families in golf, some of the nicest people ever with South Carolina connections and played at Wake Forest. How about Bill Haas? Bill Haas is certainly very capable of winning a major championship. He's a FedEx Cup champion. Has not played well in major championships. I believe he only has one top 10 in his career in majors, and that was sort of a backdoor around a 9th or 10th place finish. But for the fans there in the Carolinas, they're looking for somebody to pull for. He's a guy that his dad, Jay, one of the best guys you'll ever meet, whole family. Uncle Jerry's a coach at Wake Forest, Bill's had a tremendous career and lives there in Greenville. And he's a guy that could put it together. You know, I'd say maybe a little bit of a dark horse. I'm not real sure off the top of my head where he's in world rankings. I would guess probably somewhere between 30th and 45th, somewhere like that.
Yeah.
But he's a guy that could put it together and get it done.
All right. Well, Charlie, as always, thank you for joining us. Travel safely. We'll see you in Fort Mill on Monday and all next week at the PGA Championship.
Can't wait to get to the Charlotte area. I'm really looking forward to it, and I appreciate you having me on.
All right. Thank you so much.